previously on the Lupe and Royce Show.
Tell us a little bit about the concert, though. How, was it as cool as you were talking about, where you could actually see people and talk to
people?
I want
my money, Tom. I swear to God, I want my money. But don't worry about it. I'm going to get it one way or another.
The concert was going fantastic until I found out I was rocking the knockoff. Thanks, Tom. I'm out there thinking I'm stunting and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had somebody up on the screen. I'm talking to him. He got his wavy shirt on. I noticed mine fit a little different.
It's a damn shame. Different font. The Lupe and Royce Show is a Say What Media production.
That was pretty good.
Yo, what up? This is Lupe Fiasco, and I was at the Jamaican grocery store the other day.
Yo, what's up? This is Royce the 5'9", and I have changed my live room into a soundstage, and I'm actually recording in my soundstage right now. So I got to send a text message into the B room and tell these niggas to chill out with the bass. You hear me, Ron?
And this is Tom Frank. I'm just a regular guy in a regular room who shops at a regular grocery store. Oh boy, off to a good start.
Yo, Blood, what was that?
What's going on?
You got a disco light in there? I seen your face light up. You was getting like energized from the Starship Enterprise. I was like, what's going on over there?
It's called a moving head. It's like a spotlight, but it does like a whole bunch of different things. And it's not really supposed to be moving right now. It's supposed to move when the music comes on. So I don't know what the hell is going on. I just unplugged it though, so y'all don't have to be distracted. You had a fucking rave.
Are you gonna connect it to one of your guns? So did they come out with laser beams? You come out with a whole disco ball hanging off the end of your...
Of course not.
Your crazy lights back. What do you got, like Pac-Man going on?
I told you, man. He in a video game right now.
That's the other one.
The other one.
Yeah, this is... I got one right in front of me, then I got one like adjacent to it.
Yo, did you take that throne with you to L.A. when you performed? Is that the same chair?
Nah, that was a different... different chairs.
But you have them in different cities, so whenever you go, that there's a throne waiting for you as soon as you land?
There's always a throne?
That's how it works.
No, what happened was the guy who did the stage design for the show, he really liked the thrones that I was using on Instagram, so he tried to find a replica of them. It's actually not even the same. The thrones that he has is more similar to the ones they use on Versus. I'm serious. This one right here. People can't find these.
Your throne, that you're at the point where you're actually doing like throne comparison and differentiation type thing, that you're at that level, that's where you walk right now as a grown man in 2021?
It's no level. It's just throne talk.
It's a throne, cuz.
We talked about thrones when we watched He-Man. When we watched He-Man back in the day, we talked about thrones.
That was a skull, right? Wasn't it the giant skull that Skeletor sat in? That was a skull castle. Grayskull, by the power
Castle
of
Grayskull. Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah, Snake Mountain. Snake Mountain was Skeletor.
Snake Mountain. Ooh, that's a throwback.
No, you know it's a throwback? If you like mountains and you like movies, Holy Mountain. Ooh. When you get a
Holy
chance,
Mountain?
Watch Jodorowsky's Holy Mountain. It'll change your life.
I've never seen
Holy Mountain.
What's that about?
I mean, I don't even know where to begin. But I think that if you just Google it and you see the actual like cover of the film, you'll see where we're going. But it's called Holy Mountain. Came out, I think, in the 70s.
73.
Get some of that up in you if you like mountains. Mm. You know what
Ooh.
I mean?
Ooh, what is
oh, yeah.
This?
Yeah. Oh, it begins.
I like mountains.
This looks interesting.
Old Tom is going to be a... Mm-hmm. By the time Tom's done, he's going to be a satanic priest at the end of it.
That's what I'm getting at. Hey, speaking of things you were supposed to watch.
Ooh.
Did you ever watch the Cecil Hotel?
I ain't watch that shit, Tom. I ain't watch it.
See what I'm saying? It ain't no problem. When Lou don't do his homework, it ain't no problem.
Because I'm ready for the violence.
No, it's a problem.
I hope it's a problem. Let's solve it then, player. Buck up, player.
See, he don't even care. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna watch it right now.
You're gonna go watch it right now.
Yeah, I'm watching right now as we speak.
Go ahead. Hang up on us and go watch it.
No, I'm gonna go watch it. I got a little TV situation right here. What's on Netflix? It's on the Netflix. Is it on the Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Okay, I'm on the Netflix. It's on right Netflix. Now. Okay, I'm on the Netflix.
No, I'm not. I don't want you watching it.
No,
right
I'm finna watch it right now through the entire episode.
That's no, I want you to queue it up.
No, no, no,
so
no.
That when you're done doing this, you go eat your pizza, maybe some cereal, and you watch Cecil Listen, Hotel.
Royce, that's what you're having tonight, pizza?
Pizza and cereal.
Ooh, pizza and cereal? What from?
You put a little bit of Magic Spoon cereal on top of that pizza, it'll change your life.
Ooh, Royce, we 2 weeks out from the how you feeling, man? You feeling good?
2 weeks out?
2 weeks out.
From what?
From the ale, man.
Lupe, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yo, you know what? You know what? Okay. I did. You know what, Royce? You be rapping even when you don't be rapping. You be throwing bars out there. Even though sometimes when you jump into something, you might throw a little comment out there. It may seem like it's just somewhat off the cuff and not relevant or something like that. I'm not saying that that's what I look at it as. But you said something last week that I didn't catch. Mm-hmm. It took me a week and somebody else on Twitter pointing it out.
What?
That you had said something.
I didn't catch it.
You had said something to our guest, to JTJ. And it was just like, oh, wow, this dude Royce is He don't stop. It's bars all the time. It's like just a walking, talking metaphor machine over here. I got to step my game up. All right, so what we doing? Episode 2?
What'd I say to her?
It was something about it was like Ethereum and Ether and then the Grammys and Nas. And I was like, oh, this dude Royce is always sharp.
Yeah, you threw a line in there from Nas' song that nobody noticed at first. But a lot of people picked up on it.
Yeah, I seen that. So I was like, oh, this dude Royce, he's clever.
Our listeners are smart. They picked up on that.
Yo, this woman has too much makeup on.
What are you doing?
I'm watching Hotel Cecil.
No. No, we're not watching it right now.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now. We're not watching it, but I'm definitely watching. Okay, so what
we got a lot to get into.
Then start.
I mean, there's a lot going on. Come on, in the world right now.
Like what, Tom?
I mean, I got to say I'm kind of irritated by these mass shootings again.
Oh, let me get serious.
Yeah, you got to turn that off for me. We got deep real fast.
Yeah, you took it there.
I did take it there because this is the seventh mass shooting in the last 7 days. Mm-hmm. And the biggest one yet in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And we have a crazy person who walks in and starts shooting people up again.
Mm-hmm. What is this, the grocery store?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Boulder, Colorado. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's your take on this stuff?
First and foremost, rest in peace to the folks who passed. Condolences to the families. All the victims and the folks that are potentially maybe recovering as well, get well soon. But yeah, condolences and wishes go out to the fam in their time of plight and dark sidedness. First and foremost, but yeah, man, crazy times. What I hear which is super interesting is that, I think 10 days ago, a judge, struck down an attempt to ban assault weapons, in Colorado. This person, and I want to be clear because I don't want to start. One of the reasons why I don't, like, within the first few days, like, speak on a subject directly, because I know it's still kind of unfolding and there's a lot of narratives that come out. You get into a lot of different places and you find yourself having to do corrections and stuff like that. So I kind of let things play out before I kind of speak publicly. But, I was on Clubhouse earlier and somebody had mentioned that the guy, He bought the gun like 6 days ago. And mm-hmm. if that law would have been able to get kicked into effect, it still may took some time for the law to actually go into effect and start to be enforced and stuff like that. Right. But it was just that idea that 10 days ago, they struck down a law to ban guns. And 6 days ago, this guy goes and buys a gun. And then, you know, yesterday kills all these people.
What is the reasoning for an assault rifle ban not happening? Like, what is the reasoning behind why that got struck down? Do you have any idea?
I think it's probably the people speaking, right? The people want their weapons.
Mm-hmm. But an assault rifle, why do I ever in my life need to have an assault rifle? Like, what am I ever going to do with that? Unless I was in the military or a policeman or a lunatic.
I mean,
you could go hunting.
Hunting with an assault rifle? If you want to blow the deer to smithereens and not have any piece of him left.
I'm not a hunter, so I don't know. Lou, you know more about hunting. People hunt with assault rifles, right?
Not really. From what I've seen, when you think of hunting, you think of deer hunting, you think of the, God forbid, you're rifles. Out there bear hunting, but like turkey hunting, stuff like that, shotguns, rifles, stuff like that. In some cases, crossbow hunting, bow hunting, even without a crossbow. But I rarely see people hunting, and the hunting trips that I've been on, they weren't using assault rifles. You know, they're using,
are you even allowed to use an assault rifle in hunting?
I mean, a semi-automatic weapon is kind of, it's kind of even looked down upon in the hunting kind of community like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it's something where if you're not doing it for the sake of, you know, food, like I actually got to go hunt to get food for the season or what, or something like that, or just for like skill. I mean, there's a certain level of skill that goes into it, tracking, all that stuff, but there's people who just like to, and it's different. Like if you're doing pest control, right? Like if you're doing like actual pest control of like varmint hunting or boar or something like that, it may be different where you will want something semi-automatic, where you're doing something they call plinking or varmint hunting, where you're shooting, you know, gophers or something like that, stuff that's tearing up the land, or like coyotes, small animals and stuff like that, that might be poaching on sheep or chickens or whatever you got, right? To defend your livestock and your property. So, I mean, there's different arguments and different strokes for different folks, but when we think of hunting, right, and we think of kind of classical hunting, the first thing that pops into your mind is not an AR-15. You know, I think even the most casual person would think of a duck hunter or somebody with a rifle with a scope on it or something like that, but not like an AR-15, an assault weapon, right? And my mind goes to like those weapons, those assault weapons, like what are they used for? Like they come out of military. They're meant to be these kind of multi-use weapons platform for soldiers, you know, in an offensive capacity and maybe in some cases a defensive capacity, but a pistol is more looked at as a defense weapon, whereas a rifle on that platform is looked more of as kind of a mid-tier assault weapon. And engaging targets at distance, you know, it's not like close combat type thing. So I mean, it has a function, just not in the civilian space. And when you do bring it into the civilian space, what you see is a lot of people trying to put it into all these different civilian buckets to try and make it make sense, right? Like, oh, you know, you can hunt with it, or like, yo, you can turn off the TV with it, or like, yo, I can, you know,
turn the TV off. There is absolutely no need for the average citizen to have an assault rifle.
I said that,
in my opinion.
What about for protection?
Protection from what?
Burglars.
Why not a regular gun?
I prefer an assault rifle.
Why?
I mean, I take a regular gun, but I prefer an assault rifle.
But more a regular effective. Gun is going to do what you have to do, right?
It's not going to do what I would do with an assault rifle. You ever heard of street sweeper?
No. Street sweepers.
All right, we can ban them.
All right. Why do you say, Lou, that you don't think we could ever ban them? You think that the other side's too powerful?
You was tuned into my clubhouse early on.
I was.
Because one, that the sentiment of like, to Royce's earlier point, right? Like the people, right? There's a large group of people, and in some cases a majority, who will use the Second Amendment, who will use all type of, you know, some conspiracy theories, some actual case law, like all types of different reasons, protection, home protection, stuff like that. Personalization, like this is what feels good to me. This is what I feel best protects me versus something else. This platform is what I want. There's a lot of lobbying that's attached to it. Like it's companies that sell these guns, that manufacture and sell them at profit, for profit. They're not like donating them out of the kindness of their hearts.
Yeah.
You're paying money. And they have a bottom line that they need to reach, and they're incentivized to maintain certain narratives. And those narratives just so happen to fit, dovetail perfectly into people's political outlooks, you know, people's fears, you know. I'm not mad at the conversation if somebody's saying, I just like it because I like it. I'm not gonna do a mass shooting. I'm not, you know, I've passed through all the tests. I've done background. I've submitted myself to background checks. I've done all of the necessary things that I've had. I follow the law in my states, blah, 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 blah. I just like these things. I like to collect them. I like to look at them. I like to shoot them. Cool. The argument I have an issue with is the government is going to come. And if I don't have this, then the government is going to kill me. And then what if the government sent a helicopter with Navy SEALs? What am I? And what if this dude, you know, six dudes come into my crib and then it's da, 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 right? That part of it.
If the government's coming for you, they're coming for you. An assault weapon's not going to, is not going to control that.
Because that's where I'm at with it. I like exactly what Lupe said. I'm a collector of them. I like looking at them. I like shooting them, but I don't need them. I don't need
Nobody
them.
Nobody needs them.
Yeah, but I like them. I like them, but I don't like lunatics using them.
I mean, you don't think that we ever have a chance of banning? I'm not saying banning guns. I'm just saying banning assault rifles. I mean, politics is all about compromise, right? At some point, there's got to be compromise. At some point, something's going to put us over the tipping point where there has to be some give here. And that's the only that to me makes at least some kind of sense.
I don't think so, man. I think after like Vegas, if that wasn't the perfect like moment to say, hey, right?
Enough's enough.
Enough's enough. Like it's happening to your own kind, right? To mix a little bit of whiteness in there, right? Like it's happened to at a goddamn country music concert, right? In Las Vegas. And this dude shot 500 people. You know, like that is insane. And if that's not enough of a body count, a casualty count of your own ilk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to take it outside of just, you know, race, just Americans, right? 500 Americans were shot. Right. Enjoying themselves. They weren't protesting. Mm-mm. They weren't doing anything from anybody's points of view. Right. It wasn't a Klan rally. It wasn't some type of weird neo-Nazi space. It was like just average Americans, you know, in Vegas trying to have a good time, listen to some good music. And this dude decides to shoot 500 of them, you know, and if that wasn't enough to say, hey, we really need to take a look at this. I don't think it's ever going to change. I don't think there's enough. Schools. I don't think there's enough supermarkets. Unfortunate, right? I don't think there's enough massage parlors. I don't think there's enough blood in America to be shed for people to make the decision to say, hey, man, we should give this shit up.
What would it take, though? I mean, okay, clearly the actual violence, the actual people being gunned down is not enough. Would it be enough if enough people finally stood up? Like, if you look at the same way that in essence, the election happened, right? Enough people finally said enough is enough. Enough people stood up. Enough celebrities took a stand. Enough people kind of grew the momentum to get Trump out of office. Mm. You don't think that can ever happen? And like, what is it going to take to get what has to happen to get this to happen? In essence, it's not going to be another event because they happen that they seem like they keep happening and nobody cares.
Is this the answer? To mass shootings?
I don't know. I mean, is it the guns? Is it a mental health issue?
Because what about, you remember that mass shooting at the college campus in D.C.? Or was that Virginia?
It was Virginia Tech, yeah.
That was a handgun, right? Wasn't that a handgun, Lou?
The Asian kid?
Yeah,
Virginia Tech. I think it was a handgun.
No, I think it might have been like... I think he might have been some Glocks, but with mad clips. Yeah, like mad clips. Right. And I don't know what the magazine capacity was. But I'm not like 100% sure. You check it out, Tom.
I'm checking it out. It was a 22 caliber P22 semi-automatic handgun and a 9mm semi-automatic Glock.
Hmm. If it's a P22, it's a SIG. So it probably was. I don't think it was a 22 caliber. If it was a P22 SIG.
It says a P22 semi-automatic handgun.
Right. That might be a
SIG. So I would lean more towards it being a mental health. a mental health issue.
I think it's a supply side thing. I think that if you made it unprofitable for these companies to manufacture weapons, then you would solve it on the supply side, right? At least you would know there's no more guns being made of a certain kind.
Meaning,
right?
What do you mean by that? Meaning that they would have to sell them for, like a cigarette tax almost. Is that what you're saying? Like cigarettes have went down because of the higher cost and the less profit.
I mean, people protest. They go to their politicians and protest, right? So you're going to see a lot of that. Mm-hmm. People protesting politicians. But ain't nobody finna be outside the gun company, right? And it ain't like these gun companies are. And there's a few that are in different countries. They may have manufacturing centers here or something like that. So like H&K is, I think, Austrian, or Glock. Glock is, I think, German. But if you look on the side of any Glock, it says Smyrna, Georgia, you know, whether it be distribution or final assembly or something like that. But there's other companies that specifically make AR-15 platforms that are homegrown. You know, they're in Illinois, they're in California, they're in Georgia, you know, they're kind of dropped all over the place. And some of it may seem, I mean, it may be regulated to a degree, but it needs to be to a point where these companies themselves, find themselves unable to sell these weapons, you know, under $5,000. And if you want to make the claim and say, man, you're then what about rich people that's going out and shooting, doing this? But that's fine. But it eliminates the average Joe who just casually walk into Walmart, you know, with $500-$600 or $700 and buy some type of platform and then go up the street and start killing people. So I think it's a supply side thing that needs to get touched. I think a lot of these gun company manufacturers need to get pulled into a room and get a stern ass talking to and really kind of emphasize like, hey, man, this isn't a market that we want to keep feeding, right? If you want to make shotguns and you want to make pistols and you want to make these other things that are violent and deadly and can be used in deadly ways, but at least you can make the argument for a self-defense with a pistol. You can make the argument for hunting with a shotgun. You can make these other arguments. There's no argument to be made with AR-15s, man. Like AK-47s, Dracos, all that stuff. Like, we don't need that stuff. Still make things. There's whole industries, and there's like, you can make industries, and that's what kind of the NRA was doing initially before it came like super political. Well, it was a gun club, you know, it was promoting things that you could do with different types of guns, right? With different type of platforms. You could be a skeet shooter. You could be a target shooter. You know, you could go to the Olympics. They're shooting in the Olympics, right? There's biathlons. You can ski and lay down and take out a rifle and shoot. So there's tons of industry and sport. And pastime that can be had with firearms, and all of them don't need AR-15s. You know what I'm saying? They don't require an AR-15 platform for you to participate. If anything, you wouldn't even be able to participate with an AR-15.
And so, definitely not. You know, other countries have tried like buyback programs. Would a buyback program ever work in this country?
What's a buyback program?
Meaning that the government will give you money to trade in your guns.
They've done those. They've done gun turn-ins. I remember certain.
But I don't think have they done it for money though, where you actually got a financial incentive to do it?
I don't know for sure. I knew that there were some things where there was like no questions asked, right? Like you bring the guns in, you turn them in, you know, drop it off, you keep it moving, right? I don't know what that, maybe they did search them and if you committed some murders, they come get you, but I don't know. I think it will work. I think it will work for people who have like an excess of things that they're never going to use anyway, right?
Yeah.
And it's like better to have lease, or better for you to, you know, take your, you know, you're retiring or you're getting rid of your guns and you go down to a gun show, you know, and then just kind of unleash all of these weapons into the public again. And you don't know who's getting them versus I'm finna go give this, I'm going to turn this back into the government, you know, whether they're going to give me money for it or not. I think you have some people that will contribute. I definitely would. If you had a buyback program and you had laws that were like, we're making this illegal from a moral standpoint and then just from a use standpoint, and there was some type of financial compensation, I would definitely do that shit.
If they banned them and then gave you money to hand them in because they're banning them, that would be ideal. I would feel good. I'd be like, all right, at least y'all paying me for them after you let me buy them. Now you're banning them. You know what I mean? But if there was like a if there was a sense where it's like a moral thing, like what Lupe is saying, it's like, all right, I guess I have to join. But then that's only because I have a platform. You know what I mean? Like, and somebody got to take some steps, especially with all the bullshit happening. So, of course, I would want to do the right thing, but I would reluctantly do it because I like my weapons. No, I love them.
So you guys, you generally like to collect them, though. You collect mm-hmm. them. Both of you collect them. You just like them. You like them as a collect. The same way I would collect a baseball card, you collect a gun.
Yeah, but I don't need them.
Yeah, I don't need them either.
I don't need baseball cards. Mm-hmm.
And I have, like, purpose-driven things that are for a very specific purpose, like self-defense, like home defense, right? If I ever needed to go hunting, right? And hunting for the sake of survival, right? There's weaponry for that. You can't use no fucking AR-15 to shoot some doves or some pigeons or some shit like that. Like, it would fucking explode, right? So there's a, there's like a caliber issue and stuff like that. So there's a, I mean.
What if ammunition was part of, like, what if there was a ban on ammunition or something? Would that ever work? Have the gun, just can't have ammunition.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I like shooting them. I like shooting them.
Maybe. Like, if you put a restriction, like somebody mentioned you put a restriction on like a magazine size. So like clips and how much bullets you can hold. That would definitely have an effect.
Yeah.
And I think that does have an effect to a degree. But there's that's so easily like, yeah. You know, like.
Yeah, if you're a mass shooter, what's stopping you from doom, dropping a clip, slapping new ones in, boom, 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 dropping, slapping them in. Nothing stopping you from doing that.
And you could be a mass shooter with six bullets.
Just carrying around more clips.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you could be a mass shooter with three bullets, you know, if you really want to get funky.
However, I would say that a lot of these people that are, I mean, they have so many and they're just spraying, right? So being a mass shooter and only having three bullets, you better be a pretty damn good one.
Yeah. I
mean, three bullets?
Yeah.
They don't make the only weapon. I've never heard of a weapon with three bullets.
No, I'm just saying that. I'm not saying three, four, two, whatever it is. Six is better than having a whole clip that you're going in and just spraying the crowd.
Six is way different from three, bro.
Yeah,
that's a big jump.
If you go in there with the intention to kill people, I mean, you could just have a single shot with a handful of bullets, right? And if you're stalking people or hunting people down and cornering people, and
you have Dillinger.
Yeah, you can. I mean, I don't want to give people ideas, and I don't want to glorify that type of piece. But living in the reality of situations, if your intention is to go there to harm people, I mean, it doesn't matter how many bullets you got, right? It becomes, you know, like, again, at the, I don't see it, the change occurring in the people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, people may change their ideas and their attitudes, but until you start putting your foot on the necks of these companies that make these weapons and invite them to make other platforms, you know, or invite them to, you know, voluntarily put certain restrictions on their sales or fail safes into the weapon, which is kind of some stuff that happened in California. Just things to make things harder to kill people. You know what I'm saying? Like that part. Like, yeah, okay, if we can't get ARs out the way, can you at least make it harder for people to kill somebody with it? You know, is there anything that we can do to modify these things in a certain way to make them less tactical, to make them less efficient in their killing capacity? So I don't think it's a big thing to ask of them, but I still don't see that happening. You know, I still don't see that kind of come to Jesus moment, even if somebody went and shot up their factory, to be honest.
I still think, though, that if a real movement started, if enough people got behind it, if the right people got behind it, I think that having assault rifles be banned is not out of the question. I just think that. I think anytime we enough people get behind a movement, anything can be done. And I think there's enough people out there that look at Royce, for instance. Royce is kind of, I guess if I had to, you know, he's not like against it. I think there's a lot of people that are like Royce.
You think there's a lot
that would do it for the greater
good? A lot
of
people like Royce. Royce is one of a kind.
That's certainly true.
Now, when it comes to AR-15s.
Let me ask you this question. Diving into your world a little bit, okay? When you look at cigarettes, right? We used to watch TV and movies where everybody smoked a cigarette. You didn't. Every television show growing up, people smoked, right? If you look at society today, whether it's music, and a lot of people would say rap music, you look at video games, and you look at TV and movies, right? Guns are a part of that world everywhere. What if there ever was a time to reduce gun or start with that world to reduce making guns look like a cool thing? Could that ever happen?
You mean the way that they market it?
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, these gun companies are smart, right? I mean, movies, TV, like the same way cigarette companies made sure it was part of everyday life. We see guns on TV all the time. We see video games with guns. I mean, video games to me are part of the problem. I watch my kids play games where they're coming up, they're just shooting everything. Like, to me, that is something up here that's making it seem like you can do it. It's easy.
But you can do it. It is easy.
But I just think you're giving that, you're putting a weapon in people's hands that normally wouldn't even be in that position, even if it's a video game.
I think it normalizes the object, you know, and then
that's a better way to say it.
There's two sides to that. Like, who do you see mostly with guns in movies? Right. You'll see like good guys versus bad guys. Right. Mm-hmm. And you'll have John Wick, who's a good guy. Is he a fucking good guy? I don't think he's a good guy. Like, bro, you're an assassin for some secret organization. Like, you're not a good guy. What the fuck are you talking about? Excuse me for cousin. Right,
but he's very good at what he does. Let's put that out. Let's not.
He is an expert. Okay. I definitely don't want to rep him.
He has a special set of skills,
even though he doesn't really exist. But the that side of it is, I mean, it does romanticize it. It does give it a certain sense of, also, you know, the good guy can win with a gun, which we heard on this show before, right? But the bad guy can also win with a gun, right? What happens when you remove the gun? Then who wins? I think that's an experiment that a lot of people aren't willing to have, right? I don't think, you know, you tell a cop, if you look at the cops to be the leading example, you look at the soldiers to be a leading example. I think about not the Hells Angels, the Guardian Angels in New York. Dudes wore the red jackets. They were unarmed. Mm-hmm. You know, in the heyday of super violent New York, you know, on patrol. And it is something about being brave and showing people that it's okay to go out into the world, as scary as it is. And you don't have to be armed to the teeth every single time, you know. But that's, I can't, again, to tell people that, you know, is a hard thing to do.
What about in music? Do you think that your genre of music, rap music.
Wait.
Romanticizes.
Royce's genre. I talk about skateboards and.
Oh.
What are you talking about? I'm boom bap.
Fruit.
Oh, now he's boom bap.
Those are Royce's homeboys.
Okay, Tom, go ahead. Aim the question at me. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, I mean, in your world, very generally speaking, right? Mm-hmm. Guns are to Lupe's point, romanticized in music to a certain degree. I mean, that's part of the problem too. It's cool to walk around with a gun shooting people up. And there are people listening to that.
My theory on that, man, like I feel like rappers talk about what's going on in the environment already. You know, so before we can even think about censorship or anything, we're literally skipping a bunch of steps. I think the environment is what needs to be focused on and fixed if we're going to make an attempt to fix. But I also feel like a lot of the environments that are being romanticized, as you say, in music are created. A lot of the behaviors are socially engineered behaviors. That's what I think.
And I think it's a separate conversation for criminal gun ownership, right? versus civilian gun ownership, right? That those two mm-hmm. worlds are kind of pitted against each other in the marketing and kind of that social engineering Royce was talking about, right? Where it's like, my reason as a civilian to have this gun is for these criminals, right? Because if I ain't got no gun, I mean, the criminals going to come in and take over. And that might be a thing, right? But so it's like a dual process. It's like, how do you, there's one system to deal with legal gun owners and their access to assault style weapons. And then there's another approach, which is almost is completely different, but there's a few more steps involved to tackle criminal gun ownership, right? And they're connected. They're connected at the gun store, right? They're connected at the source. There's a choke point. Like, people ain't carrying crates of guns out the back of the factory, and one's going to the gun store and the other one's going to, you know, the train yard for a swap, right? So there has to be, you know, again, it all comes back to these companies, right, in the supply chain. And if you can find a way to establish some real rigorous controls at the point of source, then you solve both. But in the meantime, that's just one end. In the meantime, you got to have a program for legal gun owners, and you got to have a program for illegal gun owners, right? And to you have to solve it kind of simultaneously. So that's my piece. So even with on the rap side of shit, you have to start looking past the rap and look toward the crime that's underneath it, right? And how do you start mm-hmm. solving those environmental aspects as it relates to gun violence? Because everything that's in rap ain't guns. Right?
It's a lot.
It's a lot of other stuff going on as well. And guns is a part to protect that. So what does it mean to, if you legalize drugs, my God.
We talk about all kinds of poverty too. That ain't making us poor. You know? A lot of shit that needs to be fixed.
How big of a role is mental health? How do you control that? I mean, I wouldn't believe any of these people that did these mass shootings in the last 7 days would be considered sane, but yet they somehow legally bought a gun. How do we address that?
The screening process could definitely be a little more tight.
How do you do that though? I mean, obviously these people walked in, passed whatever test they had to pass, and got a gun. I'm assuming they legally bought guns.
That's
an assumption.
I don't know what the laws are, because the laws, they vary in different states.
From state to state, yeah.
I don't know what it is in Colorado. But I got my gun license, and I went through a little bit of a process. For sure.
I mean, how did that kid in Colorado walk down the street? He bought a gun 7 days before, or 10 days before, whatever it was.
I mean, sanity comes and goes. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not necessarily it's a continuum, but it's also it's a wave, you know? Like, some days you're going to be good, on the bottom you not, you know? Same thing with when you think of like actual clinically diagnosed schizophrenics, right? And shout out to everybody out there dealing with schizophrenia or any type of schizoid behavior and stuff like that. More power to you. Stay on your medication. Is that, you know, on and off medication are two different people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you stop taking medication, and it ain't like you completely gone. Like, you're cogent to a degree, and you can make decisions, and you can make that decision to just seem normal, right? And you can be completely gone, right? But just for that moment where you know you need to maintain normality, right, or a sense of normalcy, you will, and you'll pass that test and get through it. And how rigorous really is it? You know? And if you can keep it together for that couple hours that you're under observation, you know, the finish line is right there. You know, people do that all the time. They're good at masking their behavior, masking their mental states. And how rigorous do you want to be? You know, where's the line before it becomes discrimination? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that balance.
I feel like it's easier to get a license to drive a car, or easier to get a gun than a driver's license.
Definitely hard to get a driver's license back.
It might be harder to vote in some places than it is to get a gun.
Spoken like a champion. somebody just said that in the past few days there have been 275 different bills passed dealing with voting, and that in the past week or so we've had 7 mass shootings. And there's been, you know, nowhere near the amount. Not to say that nothing's going to happen or nothing's going to turn the corner a little bit later down the line, but just to see, like, people are more focused, like you said, on voting, on other things, as it rightfully so. But when you have actual life, you know, being taken from this world, that, you know, the political response or the political immediacy isn't as there as it is to restrict people from being able to vote, you know? So, I don't know, protect yourself at all times. Try and make the best decision for yourself. Then the best decision that you feel comfortable in. And, you know, unfortunately for some of us, we don't know when that's going to be. We don't know what the situation we're going to find ourselves in. And we don't know how we're going to react until it's on us. You know, you could prepare, mm-hmm. prepare. And when that moment comes, you freeze. You don't know what to do. So, you know, I would say from this point forward for folks is try and train yourself for crisis response. Every kind of human being at this point, I think if they're not going to do anything to help stem the flow of firearms to certain individuals, that you should, you know, apply yourself or enroll yourself in some type of program, for crisis preparedness, for whatever that may be. It may be, you know, first aid. It may be CPR. It may be something else. Duck and cover, different things. That when you're faced with a circumstance that's beyond your control, that you have options and you don't freeze up and you don't lock up in the moment, and you know where the exits are and you know how to get out. And if you do need to engage with somebody, you know how to engage that person, you know? So it's just preparedness at this point, good folks.
And stop using the argument that you need assault rifles when the government is coming for you, because the government is going to get you with or without your assault weapon. Guaranteed. 100%.
Unless you're John Wick.
Unless you're John Wick.
They ain't getting him.
You're listening to the Lupe and Royce Show with Lupe Fiasco, Royce the 5'9", and Tom Frank. All right, fellas. One of today's sponsors is BetterHelp. We got a lot of pressing mental health issues in the world today. What do you think the most pressing one is?
I think it's the stigma associated with mental health in underserved communities, Tom.
And I think it's about being comfortable in your own skin, being who you want you to be.
Sounds like a time to recommend our sponsor, BetterHelp, which provides professional counseling in a safe and private online environment. Lou, tell our listeners how they can benefit from BetterHelp.
You can start communicating with a counselor in less than 24 hours, schedule weekly video or phone sessions, send messages anytime, and even change counselors for free if needed.
BetterHelp's licensed professionals specialize in topics like depression, stress, anxiety, trauma, and anger.
BetterHelp is convenient, professional, affordable, and anything you share with your counselor is confidential. Get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at BetterHelp.com/Lupe and Royce. That's BetterHelp, HELP/Lupe and Royce. You're listening to the Lupe and Royce Show with Lupe Fiasco, Royce the 5'9", and Tom Frank. Do you see Donald Trump is working on his own social media platform? Did you guys read this?
What?
We don't get any lighter than this.
He said, sources with Trump say that he is going to come out with his own social media platform, and he's going to shove it to Twitter and to Instagram and to Facebook for throwing them off their platforms. No way. Can you imagine this?
I like how he's thinking.
I got to give him a little credit for that. No, that's the way he's going to roll.
No. Because he's taking He's masquerading entrepreneurialism and innovation in tech, right? It's like, oh, yeah, he's going to build his own platform, have his own servers, mm-hmm. going to stick it to the man. He ain't finna do nothing but talk the same wild, crazy nonsense that he talked for 4 years. Like, why would you applaud that? Like, that just gives him access.
Here's my point. Put Trump to the side, like who he is, what he stands for,
Just for
my own sake. And if you take the fact that this was a human being who got thrown off these other platforms, and his response to it is, I'm just going to build my own, and all these 100 million lunatics are going to actually probably join it. It's brilliant and scary all at the same time.
Man, I give it no credit. I give it no credentials. Fuck Donald Trump, man.
I totally agree with you.
Even though the chicken at Mar-a-Lago is fire. Now, if we're going to give him credit for whoever that chicken recipe, Jesus Christ. I think it came with a little...
That's where you're going.
Mandarin coleslaw with little oranges in it. It was off the chains,
Where at Mar-a-Lago?
Yeah. I wonder if you can still go there. I heard it got shut down. They had a COVID outbreak or something like that down there. Of course they did.
Of course they did. Yes.
Donald Trump is falling into obscurity. You're the first person that I've heard bring up Donald Trump in I don't know how long, bro. Like weeks.
But you know what's kind of cool about that is we don't really talk about politics anymore. The only thing I've heard about politics lately is our poor president tripping up the steps to get on his plane last week.
Yeah, and he deserves to be laughed at the same way they laughed at Trump.
He deserved to be laughed. But I would rather be laughing at that than laughing at some crazy man telling people to go storm the Capitol.
Why don't they get him some geezer steps?
Yo, he old, man.
He is old.
He's so old. Old,
bro. So old. He's really old.
He need a pad at everything, bro.
Yo.
I felt bad for him, though, going up those steps.
Yeah, I couldn't even laugh at him, man. He's just old.
I felt bad.
You know, I do apologize. I apologize for saying that they should have. But if you're going to be fair, if you're going to be even, if you're going to laugh at Trump for doing the same stupid shit, then you should turn around and make jokes about – you shouldn't make jokes about, you know, older people at all, right? Respect your elders. But, you know, Trump's a wild piece of shit, but that's different. But Joe Budden ain't. Joe Budden. Joe Biden's not. Joe Biden's a cool old dude. I think he has his best intentions ahead for folks, man. So more power to him. Mm-hmm.
So guns are impossible to ban, but Dr. Seuss books are easy to ban.
Listen, Tom.
And Mr. Potato Head now has to be gender neutral.
Tom. Won't you show Royce? What we was talking about before he came on.
I was getting to that. This was my segment. Toys and censorship.
Okay, you got it.
See where I was going? I was going to, here's a toy that should never be censored. Royce, did you ever see my action figure? Let me show you this. Has an action figure ever been made of Royce the 5'9"?
No. You got
Lupe,
me.
Do you have an action figure?
I'll one up you, Jack. I only do have an action figure. It's in a box.
Uh-oh.
With a sword. Let me see. Whooping some ass.
Wait a minute. Where's the actual act? You've never taken it out of the box?
I've never taken it out of the box. Chill out. Chill out, I buddy. See it. Chill out, buddy.
It looks just like me. Oh, man. I like having something that Royce doesn't have.
Look at that.
I like that.
Look at that.
It's a microphone.
I got it. I got accessories.
Microphone.
And voila. Booyah!
Where's the sword?
Where you hear it?
Look, I got Nikes.
Mm-hmm. Are those actual Nikes?
Oh, yeah. I got little Nikes. Some little Air Force Ones. I tell you, I got my camo pad. Look, the Goyard bag. With the initials on there? Yeah, man.
This is definitely 2008.
Chain.
Wait, what's the story behind this?
What you mean? What's the story behind yours? I'm famous. I got friends who...
No, but I mean, what? So somebody
story behind
just...
yours, Tom.
I got mine. I got mine from my boss one time. She gave it out to the whole senior staff. We were all superheroes in her mind. I appreciated it a lot. I've kept it with me for all these years.
That's sweet.
Why I need to put something. I'm going to put something.
Why she make you all? Why she make you all Snoop footed? You a Crip?
That's right. No, I'm not going there. See, look, I can fly.
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah, he's flying. That's right. All right. What's the story behind yours? Like someone just made you a.
Oh, man, you see the sword is there. You see people, you know, friends look out for their friends. You know, they don't knock off their merch, you know?
Can people purchase that item?
I mean, maybe. When I'm dead, you go up for auction.
No, I mean, is that it? Is that a limited edition? Is that the only one ever made?
That was the only one he made. It was like a one-on-one. He made the box. Look at that. I think that he made him. Shout out to my man, Nathan Cabrera, Nacho Cabrera. He actually did the artwork for the cool. And he's an amazing, just full on artist of all ilk. He can You give him anything and like, make me this and he'll make it and bring it back 18 times better than what you thought. And I think he made a bunch of these for like all of the homies at that time. And so, yeah, he made me one. So there you go. A lot of detail.
So Royce, no. It was nice. It's a little nicer than mine.
Yes, yes. I'd say so.
Oh, hey, Royce, where's yours? I don't see you with one.
I don't have one, Tom.
Uh-huh. But that, anybody out there wants to make Royce an action figure?
Don't make me go get one. I can go get one real quick. Because I know a company. I know a guy.
Listen.
I know a guy.
Ladies and fans out there, make sure that Royce gets a toy made, y'all. I got Trader Truth's toy, too. I got Trader Truth toy over there. Shout out to Trader Truth.
I didn't know Trey had one.
Yeah, he got. Hold on. Let me get his toy real quick. Hold on.
Y'all. All right. So you need an action figure.
Hey, I got a Sean Price. Well, my daughter broke it, though.
All right. I'm not going to get that. I wanted to get up and go get it. Y'all just have to trust me that my man Trader Truth has so he's sending a Lamborghini. Shout out to Trey. He's doing a lot of good stuff down in Texas. You're listening to the Lupe and Royce Show with Lupe Fiasco, Royce the 5'9", and Tom Frank.
Hey, Royce, today's show is sponsored by Magic Spoon. What's your take on this stuff?
Clearly, I find it delicious, Tom. It reminds me of the cereal we all ate as kids, but without all the same sugar and junk. So I can still watch my figure. Even though I don't have a figure, you know what I mean. It's a figure of speech, Tom.
I know what you mean. My kids are digging it. They mix it together. They put the chocolate with the peanut butter, the fruity with the frosted. Personally, I don't find it as good for breakfast as I do just eating it on the show.
Well, you know what, Tom? That's a shame because it's also keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free, and quite tasty. I got the variety pack, which includes 4 flavors. Would you like to know those flavors, Tom?
I would, actually. Yeah.
Cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. My favorite. Mmm.
Go to magicspoon.com/LupeandRoyce to grab a variety pack and try it today. Be sure to use our promo code Lupe and Royce at checkout to have $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their order, it's backed with 100% guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, you'll refund your money, no questions asked.
You deserve it. Get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/LupeandRoyce and use the code Lupe and Royce to save $5 off.
Mm-mm, good.
You're listening to the Lupe and Royce Show with Lupe Fiasco, Royce the 5'9", and Tom Frank.
You guys want some fan questions?
Why?
I got some good ones today. I'm not even going to associate them with a actual person. I'm just going to throw them out there in a little new segment here that'll be just quick fire.
Man, can we have music for these segments?
Put it in there. Oh, not me doing the music? I could have him do the music.
Tom, could you please stop cutting off Royce?
Just add the music in post, Tom.
I will do that. All right.
Scorpio. Music.
What music do you guys listen to just relax?
Anything Stevie Wonder for me.
To relax? Ooh. You listening to Stevie to relax?
I mean, I don't put it on and be like, you know what? I want to relax. Let me put on some Stevie. I just listen to it. You know, I find that that's probably what I listen to when I'm chilling, when I'm just chilling.
And he mellows you out?
So I guess that's my version. That's my version of relaxing, I guess.
Man, when I'm relaxing. Ooh, let me see. I got to dig into my relax. Oh, off top. This little ditty right here. Hold on, let me go on get to it, man. This song right here, actually. It's called Beat and Bow by Astrid Gilberto. Listen, man, nothing beats bossa nova, baby. If you're trying to chill out, listen to some bossa nova.
I don't know. That kind of made me uptight. I think that'd make me uptight.
Uptight? What are you talking about? What do you listen to, Tom, when you beating off in the shower? What's being played at you?
When I'm just relaxing, I like all old Motown music. What else do I listen to? I like
to relax. Which is crazy.
I like older music to relax, rather than this new stuff.
This new stuff. You said that with some stank on your face.
Nah, I didn't say it with stuff. You know, this pop stuff that all my kids listen to. It's up, everybody's jumping around. Everybody's running. Names.
What are you talking about? Get in trouble right now, Tom. Yeah. Go on.
What pop stuff are your kids listening to?
Start some beef, Tom.
What are they listening to right now?
Come on.
I'll get you. And I have my, one of my daughters likes country music. I don't like country music. You guys like country music?
Yes.
Name your country song that you like or a country artist you like.
What? Name it. I'll sing it. Went skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing, went 2.2 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. I love sweeter and I spoke deeper and I live like you were dying. Ooh, that song touches my soul, man. It's called Live Like You Were Dying.
And Lupe Fiasco, singing country. Sweeter,
and I love deeper. Woo! I'm going to listen to that shit right now.
What if Taylor Swift were to call you right now?
Yes.
And say, hey, Lupe, I want to do a country song with you.
Yes.
You doing it?
I said yes. What? Royce would do it? I'm definitely doing it. Listen.
No, the fuck Royce wouldn't.
Would you do it, Royce?
No, don't throw me in that shit. Hell no.
Why not?
I'd be like, you better call Lupe with that bullshit.
Listen, this Tim McGraw, if you out there feeling down, and you didn't went to betterhelp.com/Lupe and Royce. You got something to live for, you understand? I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking
about the options, and talking about. I'm about to go get my assault rifle. Who want to go first?
All right, next question. We're on the rapid fire here. Most useless talent you have.
What? What is this, a trivia show? Talent?
Yeah. What is the most useless talent you have?
I can shoot balled up pieces of paper into the trash can from long distances.
What? Man, everything I do is with Nia and purpose. I can't relate.
You don't have any useless talents.
I use all my talents, man.
I find this really hard to believe.
What are you talking about?
You have to have a useless talent of some sort.
Come on, man. You can slice a fucking penny in half with a sword. Ain't fucking got no use for that talent.
Slice it in half, but you know. It's target practice. You know? I don't really have no useless talents, man. I try and put to use everything that I have. I'm sorry if that's unsatisfactory.
Anything you can do with that sword is a useless talent with all them guns.
Listen, swords don't run out of bullets. That's the way I look at it.
Hey.
Swords don't run out of bullets.
I'm telling you.
A samurai sword might be the ultimate weapon. A crossbow, you're going to run out of...
A lot of bullets don't run out of bullets.
Nah, but like, okay, let's say you're in The Walking Dead, right? You're in The Walking Dead. Eventually, bullets are going to be... Well, I guess you could make new bullets.
I'll take a lot. Have you ever made
crossbow,
a
crossbow, you're going
to... I see what you're trying to do, Tom, but it ain't going to work.
I think I would rather have a samurai sword than anything else.
100 round
if I was in The Walking Dead.
100 round beta drum.
Wait, do they die if you shoot them in the head? I don't watch Walking Dead. Do they die if you shoot them in the head?
Yeah, you shoot them in the head, they're dead.
Oh, okay.
But if you stab them in the head or you cut their heads off with the samurai sword.
They still alive?
No, they're dead.
You can cut a zombie head off, but you ain't just cutting somebody that's coherent. And can kick some ass. You ain't just
with my samurai sword?
Mm-hmm. Wait, how fresh are the dead zombies on Walking Dead?
What do you mean by fresh?
No, they just like.
Yeah, but is it like skeletons coming out the ground, or is it like a certain spectrum?
If you die in The Walking Dead, if you die, I think it's like 20, 30, 40 minutes you turn.
But what about, so where'd all the zombies come from?
Because apparently in that show, I don't remember exactly, but, you know, some kind of illness struck across the board. And so it was all living people. It wasn't like people buried. It was people that were living at a certain point that are now dead.
Got it. Okay, cool.
I don't think they rose out of the...
So they weren't dead.
The graves.
So they were the walking sick?
Well, they died and then they became the walking dead. Don't sleep on that show. You've never seen The Walking Dead?
I've seen like the first episode, then I seen like another episode, then I seen, I think, another episode. And I was like, I'm not watching any more of these episodes.
I watched like the first 7 seasons and then I...
Damn! That's like 70 episodes, Tom.
That was my Sunday night ritual. I would, after the kids went to bed, I would sit down and watch The Walking Dead.
How come you ain't read the Bible? You could have did that on Sunday night.
I could have done that on Sunday nights. I went to CCD for a long time to learn about the Bible. So now I use my Sunday nights to watch TV.
What's CCD?
CC, never heard of CCD? Man, that was black, growing dog. Up in the Catholic Church. What? Wait a minute. It doesn't matter. It's not a black or white thing. It's in the Catholic Church. You would go to church on Sunday mornings, and then either that Sunday afternoon or at night when you were older, you went and it was like, you know, you got together at the church and you learned different things.
Royce, did you go to church? Was y'all a church family?
My mom. I went with her sometimes. I don't really remember it.
I never missed the Sunday. But
I just remember it being. I just remember it being extremely boring to me. And this is, I'm in no way saying the church is boring. I'm saying as a child, that was just my perception of it at that time. Probably because I had the same problem there that I had in class, which was I had a difficult time paying attention to things. Because I just had my mind just used to drift. I used to have seizures when I was a kid because I fell out of the top bunk, so I used to have seizures. There's a bunch of shit going on where always was in la-la land somewhere.
Wait, what? How do we go back?
Two things go together. I used to have petty mal seizures. They're called petty mal seizures. So basically, we would be talking, and then I would just start blinking, like... And I would be like in like a daze, but I could hear you. I could hear you talking when you're talking to me. You'd be like, Ryan, I could hear you calling me, but I can't answer you because I'm having an episode. Mm. And then I would come out of it and that was it. It wasn't like, what do you call the other one?
Like epileptic. A seizure. Yeah.
It wasn't like, it's a seizure.
Grandma.
Oh.
This was petty mal. Mm. This is petty mal. You had grandma, you had petty mal, and of course, epileptic people. Fall all the way down, and you know, like those, you can die because you know, like you can swallow your tongue and bite your tongue, like all types of shit can happen. So they put me on medication. I took medication for like 5 years, and then I stopped having them.
Mm. Just stopped. You've never had one as an adult.
Never had one.
What triggered you? Say
not even as an alcoholic.
You say you fell out the bed. That's what triggered it.
I think it's because I fell out the top bunk as a baby.
I got two dark ass stories. One, it's funny, is we had these kerosene heaters around our house to heat up the house. And I remember I just sat on it and burned my ass. Like real bad. Like I cooked my little ass. Second, is went to visit my uncle and was running around the house and he had a cigarette in his hand. Like hanging down by his arm, you know, just walking around casually. And I ran, my eye ran straight into that cigarette.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And your eye?
Yeah, but I was born like with a weak muscle, so that's why I got wet glasses. But
is that why you got one glass eye?
I don't have a glass eye. If I had a glass eye, I would poke a knife.
Like,
You just sit there.
You ever seen somebody pop their eye out? They got one fake eye. You ever seen somebody pop their eye out? It's amazing. It's amazing, dog. It's amazing the way they can just handle the eye. It's nothing. It's like they pop it out, and then it's just a little pink spot right there. It's incredible. It's incredible.
You've actually seen somebody.
Yeah. Then they could throw it back in there like.
So what is it? Is it magnetized?
Is it magnetized?
How does it pop back in?
My man just asked, was it magnetized? What do you think? You got a steel skull?
No, the way that it puts power.
It ain't no damn metal in there. God dang. My man said, was it magnetized? I love it.
No, it just sits there, man. If anybody has any information on or has dealt with, you know, losing an eye and has got a replacement eye and feel comfortable talking about it, leave us a voicemail. Let us know your experience with your fake eye and how you've dealt with it. My petty self, oh my God, I'd have put it in drinks. Like, I would have went to the bar. It's like, let me get a martini. Then I got to go to the bathroom, and I'd have took my eye out and put it in a martini. Like, hey, I'll be watching you. And then what?
You know what? The last person I seen doing it, not to cut you off, Tom, I follow Charleston White. Y'all follow Charleston White? I follow Charleston White sometimes, and I look at some of his videos. He a little crazy, but sometimes he entertains me. He says all kind of crazy shit about the nation and all type of shit. So he popped his eye out one time. Somebody sent me a video where he popped his eye out, and we were just like, yeah, I got one eye. So what? And it was like he just sitting there with the one eye, like, you know what I'm saying? And then he popped it back in and shit. It was just like, whoa.
I think my magnet thing is not a bad idea. If you lose an eye, they could put a little magnet back there and make the eye out of metal, and you could pop it in and out.
Could they do that?
You can already pop it in and out.
Yeah, but I'm saying if it was magnetized, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, but then every time you walk past perfect. Something, there was another magnet, should have suck it out of your head.
I know you'd be like,
okay, corrected.
Go fuck it. You walk by somebody's refrigerator and be like,
yo, if I had a fake eye, man, I would use it as a golf ball. And I would go to put it down there. I would need to have a whole set of replacement eyes. Cause I'd definitely be fucking with them.
I'm sure they got replacements. I'm sure they got like backups.
You just think they have a bag of eyeballs that they carry around?
You gotta travel. You gotta travel with a backup. It's like having contact lenses.
Listen, Tom, that's the next guest that we want. Find us somebody who has a fake eye, and then we want to be able to hit them with a whole bunch of questions about how they deal. And it'd be great because we can make the show around like disabilities and stuff like that. But I don't even want to say that because it might not be a disability. It might give you a what's this pro? You might get a
extra ability.
Yeah, you might get another type of ability. Ooh.
All right. You can hide drugs. If anybody out there with a fake eye, hit us up on the hotline immediately.
I would hide a bullet back there.
Call us at 707-276-6261. All fake eyes are welcome.
Yo, speaking of phone numbers, right? How many, maybe not you, Tom, maybe you, Royce. How many different versions of the iPhone do you still have?
Just the last one before this one. Whatever that one is. I still got that one. But I usually either give them away or just throw them away because they're usually in such bad shape by the time the new one comes out. My screen is normally like cracked and just messed up. But
yo.
Why you got a lot of
I'm continuously finding iPhones and Blackberries just in boxes and in places around my place. Like iPhone
just old
2
ones?
iPhone 2 where it had the big ass plug in the back, like just an array. They won't even cut on no more. Like, it's hilarious that I've had every single iPhone since they first came out. I've skipped a few because I was like but I keep finding iPhones. Like a stack of them.
You should frame them and make an art exhibit out of them.
What, like a shrine to Steve Jobs?
No, just a piece of art, or make something of with them. I don't know. I don't have any of them. I trade them in immediately. Get rid of them. I don't want them.
They don't do nothing but
sell them. Why you want them?
They send them overseas, man. And they sell them for
parts. I don't want them. Trade them in. Trade them in.
Why not? You should keep them.
Why? What do I need stuff for?
You're right. I'm trying to
downsize. I don't need any more junk. Downsize.
Royce, are you cluttery?
No.
Damn.
Nope. My wife is.
Your wife is the one who's cluttery?
Like, when you say cluttery, you mean like hoarder, a little bit of a hoarder, right? A step below hoarder. Yeah, that's my wife. That's my wife. I don't like clutter. Yeah, I don't like clutter, but I can't beat my wife, so clutter it is.
What do you mean?
I'm not cluttery.
Yeah. I'm really cluttery. But it's like my clutter is ridiculous. Like it'll be like a stack of iPhones.
Your right? Ridiculous clutter.
Like, yo, why you got all these iPhones? Or why do you have all this DJ equipment?
Right? Is there something where you don't want to throw them away?
I mean,
What's the why?
I don't mind partying with stuff, but I have like very specific kind of clutter. Like I got a bunch of samurai swords, right? And it's kind of like I got too many samurai swords to organize in a fashion that wouldn't look like clutter, so the shit just looks like clutter. But it's samurai swords. It's a pile of swords. Clothes is ridiculous.
So you like just to collect things, in essence.
I don't know if I like to collect things. I mean, what do you do with that? There's some amazing stuff, right? You got, like, rejection letters from the Oscars. Royce, what is the most coveted thing that you have? That's not like a family thing. That's like something you got in your travels of being Royce the 5/9.
I probably my Grammy medal or like one of my plaques, honestly, because I don't really collect things. I don't really collect things. I just, if I receive them, then I honor them, but I don't like go places and collect stuff and like whatever comes my way. My plaques, I didn't even feel the desire to even want them until I got this place. And then I start calling around to try to get all of the plaques that I had coming. I still don't have my chronic plaque. Still trying to get my hands on that.
When you wrote the whole album for Dr. Dre?
I wish. I wrote one song. One song.
Not me. I got shit from everywhere, man.
What's your most prized possession?
But you collect stuff, right?
I don't know. I mean, I like books. I like trinkets. I got a little collection of skulls. I collect skulls, which we all know. And what's my most prized thing? My most prized possession. I don't think I have one.
No. Your house is on fire and you can grab one item before you run out. What is it?
My wallet and my passport.
Okay, not your wallet and your passport.
What you talking about? Not my wallet. You make it.
You already have that. No. Those are already in your pockets. You're looking around. You're like, oh God, I got to grab this one thing. What is it?
Probably my incense.
The incense that you were making?
Yeah, because it take a long time. It take like 3 years, man. That's a lot.
Ah, let that burn. It's going to burn anyway.
I don't know. Maybe the hard drives.
With your music or what's on the hard drives?
All kinds of shit on the hard drives, man.
Secrets. See, I can't hold on to those either.
Well, how much music have you lost?
Tons. Because I had recordings from the previous studio. Those drives burnt out. You remember the big drives? They kind of sit up. What do you call it? Laces? The big laces? That you stand up? Mm-hmm. Yeah, those burnt out. I had them. I had a couple of them in the garage that were burnt out when I tried to
Wait a minute. You at this point, are you guys keeping things on drives or are they up in the cloud?
Cloud?
This is
the cloud.
This is before the cloud. But yeah, we still use hard drives.
Yeah. The backups for backups. You do two dumps. You have your working drive.
You got a backup. Then you got to have an external backup.
Save drive, and then you do a backup. Get in tune, Tom.
I put everything in the cloud. Now, you could take my computer right now. Doesn't matter. I got everything in the cloud. Mm-hmm. All my music is in the cloud. My one song is up there.
I don't know. I would probably take... I don't know if I could get to the drive. I mean, whatever I can get to. At the end of the day, you can't take none of this shit with you. None of it.
That's right.
You know? And then mostly everything you can get back, for the most part.
I'd grab that sword that you just got. Or you got last summer, whatever it was.
Again, man. I got that on Amazon. It ain't
expensive. Nah, you want... Run out in the street with that sword, because if the house is going down, something might be going on outside.
Nah. All the shit can burn, Tom. Knock on wood that it doesn't happen. And if I find out that you're trying to set my house on fire, Tom, I'm sending somebody to come see you.
Oh, look at this.
Not setting your house on fire.
Ooh, look at my... You want to take a tour of my possessions? This. You want to know what this is?
Oh, yeah. What are those things called? You have to... The medicine thing.
No, it's a penis,
what
man.
The fuck is that?
It's a penis.
I was about to say, yo... I ain't want to say it because I ain't want people to be like, I ain't want y'all to be like, man, you nasty, Royce.
It's a penis.
I'm going to say, bro, what is that? Why do you have that?
I actually got
Why do you have that?
I got this in Japan, and don't look at me like that. I got it in Japan from one of my homies. Met them for like dinner at this izakaya in a super famous kind of low-key cult spot in Japan. And, you know, izakaya, they serve everything. And so his theme was dicks, as you can see. So this was actually one of the cups that they would serve you, like wasabi, or like you put soy sauce in, or like, you know, ginger or whatever for like, you know, eating sashimi and stuff like that. But they had, it was like izakaya, so it was like stews and all kinds of stuff. So anyway, man. The owner of the restaurant was he a G, and he gave me his little penis bowls.
He gave you a penis bowl. That is an interesting possession right there.
What, you don't like it?
No, I thought from a distance it was one of those things. What are the things that you smash down the medicine? What are those things called?
A penis.
Clearly it's not that though.
But it could also be like a sea cucumber, but I don't think that's what it is. And if, when you go to his store, when you go to a restaurant, if you look all
could be a turtle.
Walls, it's covered in penises. So like famous artists will come in and like draw dicks and then put them on a wall. So you go in this place around.
This reminds me of like our first episodes.
What?
Well, we ain't know what the fuck to talk about, so we just ended up talking about the fucking.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. This is time killing because. Tom opened it up with such a depressing topic.
Right.
Start with shootouts and you end with penis with bowls from Japan.
Penis bowls.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Lupe Fiasco. And penis bowl.
My name is Royce da5'9" and Pussy Spoon.
And this is Tom Frank. I don't have either one of those items because I'm clearly just a normal dude. That's it. We're done.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
What's good, y'all? This is Meyer Clarity from Toronto, Canada. Just wanted to show a huge amount of love to Lupe, Royce, Tom. Been a big fan since day one. Been checking all of these out. Just wanted to let you guys know y'all are both my favorite lyricists as well as my favorite humans. Y'all are exemplary role models. One of the things about the show I love the most, I like the personal anecdotes. I want to hear more of that.
Hey, guys. My name is Tanisha, a.k.a. Hippie Chick, and I am a Cincinnati native, but I'm currently residing in Orlando, Florida. I have a question for my celebrity crush, Lupe. What inspired the color scheme for the show? I also want to point out how creative you guys have gotten over the course of the 27 episodes with the editing and things like that. Keep up the good work, gentlemen, and I'm loving everything about the show. You got a true fan for life.
Yo, it's your boy Lanou here from Syracuse, New York, coming by to show some love to the Lupe and Royce podcast. Hearing about this podcast is definitely big for me. Both of y'all music has been very instrumental in my creativity, so it's great to listen week by week. So I just want to thank y'all for that, for the entertainment on the music side, but not only the podcast side as well. Much love, and Lupe, don't shoot me with arrows. I'll holler.
That's our show for the week. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe or follow. Leave us a review and tell your friends to listen. The Lupe and Royce Show is a production of Say What Media. It's recorded and mixed by Claude Jennings. Our head writer is Lauren Sloat. I'm Tom Frank. And our theme music is by, who else? Lupe Fiasco and Royce the 5'9".